At the time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with the lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here is the bridegroom. Come out and meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later the others came. "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day and the hour." Amen. May God add his blessing to the reading and understanding of his holy word today.
Thank you, Tony, and please be seated. This story reminds me of a time when we were in California. One Easter Sunday, we went out. After worship, we decided to go to eat together, lunch, and so we went out, but we realized that when we were coming back, we were running out of gas, and so we decided that it was not far from Costco, and it was Sunday morning, it was Easter, and we said, okay, let's go to Costco and let's fill up our gas tank. And so we just kept on driving, but the moment we exited from freeway, our car just stopped. Luckily, it was right after we exited. And so, unfortunately, there was a thunderstorm, heavy wind, and all of us were sitting in the car, and now I had to walk a few blocks to the gas station to buy gas gallon, and after that, fill it up and bring it back and fill in the car in order for us to go. And I walk, and I was wearing my, suit and necktie. And by the time I reached, there was no umbrella. And by the time I reached the gas station, I was all soaked, wet. And finally, I got a little umbrella I bought, and there was a gas tank. And so I filled it up. And as I was walking back with the gas tank, I saw three of them laughing inside the car because there was heavy wind, and so my umbrella was turned upside down. And then I was soaked wet, and I couldn't walk fast because other cars were just passing fast. And instead of helping, three of them were laughing at me. So it just remind me of the time when our gas ran out. And this story tells us that we have to be always prepared all the time. Now, in order to tell us about how we have to be prepared, Jesus uses a parable. And by using a parable, he is telling a story about a wedding that might have taken place in any Palestinian village. Now, in Palestinian village, as it is for all of us, wedding is a very, very great occasion. The whole villagers will turn out to accompany the couple to their new home. Now, they don't use cars, no cars. They have to just walk, accompany. The whole villagers will accompany them to their new home. And they will go by the longest possible road in order for people to stand and greet them and wish them good luck. And after the wedding, they would invite their closest friends to their home. And this is quite a different kind of wedding costume as we know, because when a couple get married, they did not go away for honeymoon. They stayed home for a week. They will keep their house open, and to this celebration, only the closest friends were admitted. And it was the most joyous moment in their lives. Now, William Barclay is one of the 19th century famous biblical scholars from England. He narrates a story about his friends who visited Palestine and how he missed to see a wedding banquet. As they were approaching the gates of a town, they saw 10 beautiful women, maidens, beautifully dressed, playing instruments and dancing along the road. So he asked the driver, taxi driver, what was going on. The driver said they were going to keep the bride company until the bridegroom arrived. So he was so excited, he asked if there was any chance for him to wait and see the wedding. The driver shook his head and said, it might be tonight or tomorrow night, or it might be in a week's time. Nobody knows for certain. He further went on to explain that one of the great things to do at a middle class wedding in Palestine was to catch the bridal party napping. So the bridegroom comes unexpectedly and sometimes in the middle of the night. But when he comes, he said, the bridegroom is expected to send someone along the street to cry out, behold, the bridegroom is coming. But that might happen any time. He also said, it is very important to know that no one is allowed on the streets after dark without a lighted lamp. And once the bridegroom arrived and the door has been shut, latecomers were not allowed to come in. So Jesus was using a familiar story that happened in your everyday life. And so Jesus is telling a familiar story, but to give a new meaning. And so the story begins, the kingdom of heaven will be like this. Now here we have two clues. In some of the translation, it begins, then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. The then suggests that the parable is related to what came before this parable, and that is in Matthew 24. And if we read Matthew 24, we see the reflection of the kingdom of God that is about to come. And throughout the parables in the book of Matthew about the kingdom of God, he makes it clear that it is the dream of God which is fulfilled for us here and now. And so we can see this very clearly spelled out in Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 to 17. And the clearest example is found in the prayer which we do every Sunday, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so to this kingdom, he wants us to respond with responsibility. He wants us to be ready anytime. He wants us to be prepared. He wants us to be productive in our doings. And most importantly, he wants us to respond through our service, and he wants us to jump into action. The scripture says, to be a member of the kingdom of God is to have the bliss integrated in the beatitude, which says, "Blessed are you. How blissful are those of you who are poor, but who came to God. Yours is the kingdom of God." The kingdom that Jesus is talking about is the place where God promises abundance of life. God promised that I will bring you happiness if you come, if you enter into that kingdom. I will bring you joy. I will bring you peace. I will bring you hope. And that is what the kingdom of heaven is like. And to be in the kingdom of heaven is the most coveted and desired moment and experience. For the young virgins, to be in the company of the bride was something like to be in the kingdom of heaven. And so Jesus tells the story of these bridesmaids. Now, these young women, they are happy that out of all the young maidens in the village, they are invited to participate in the wedding ceremony. They were honored to be the selected few. More than 10 years ago, when I was teaching at a seminary in India, I decided to go for further studies in the United States, because in India we do not have all the library resources, all the facilities, and so I applied to different places. And after applying to few places for a few years, I received a news from the Union Theological Seminary in New York City saying, out of many candidates, you have been selected to be one of the ecumenical scholars. So it covers all the tuition, it covers all the living expenses, it covers all the health insurance, and also it gives stipend. So when I heard the news, that was the most amazing news, because I've been applying to different schools, and all of a sudden, out of so many applicants, the letter says, you are selected to be among the selected few. You see, for the young virgins, there were many other young virgins in the village to accompany the bridegroom and the bride, but only 10 were selected. Just imagine how happy they might have been when they were asked to accompany the wedding party. If we continue reading the story, the text gives us the clue that 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were foolish. But what is the difference between the ones who were wise and the ones who were foolish? Jesus makes it very clear. The wise ones were the ones who did not take it for granted. They did not presume upon how long it would take for the bridegroom to come. They were also wise in regards to understanding that some things you have to have it for yourself, especially if you are to experience of being a wedding guest. No matter where we are, we need to be always prepared. And what about the foolish ones? The text says, when the foolish got up, they were as beautiful as others. Their dress were as good as others. They were as attractive and good looking as the other 5. And in our modern term, we can say they were as hot as the other 5. But there was only one difference. They did not bring no extra oil. And so they asked, "Can you give us some of your oil when the bridegroom comes?" But when the cry came, they were all somewhere trying to buy oil after midnight. The problem is, where are they going to get oil after midnight? They went out looking for oil, and finally when they came back, the door was closed. And so they cried out, "Lord, Lord, open to us." Now the same expression, "Lord, Lord," is found in Matthew chapter 7. And here it describes two kinds of people. Folks that cried out, "Lord, Lord," all the time, but are not willing to do the will of the Heavenly Father. There are Christians who would pretend that they are very holy. They would always take the name of God. They will say they pray all the time, but they are not willing to do the will of the Heavenly Father. And so even in our parable today, Jesus is trying to tell us that it is not enough to say, "Lord, Lord." It is not just enough to just go to church and not do the will of God. It is not just enough to keep on praying and not surrender ourselves to the will of God. It is not enough to be the hearers of the word and not doers. And if we are not willing to surrender, if we are not willing to be obedient to God's word, to God's direction, God's leading, then we will just be one of those foolish five. And so it is talking about Christians who have all the qualifications of the Christian faith, who hears the call of God in their lives, but are not ready to act upon that call. Today's text makes it clear that anybody who claims to be a Christian, and when God calls you or me to service, to action, and if our attitude runs out, then we often come to the foolish side of the virgins. They are like an old car that looks very clean outside, but the engine inside is very old. There are Christians like that who seem to be beautiful outside, sound good, but when it is time to shift into gear, into action, they just conked out. Jesus was concerned about something in this very story. During the ministry of Jesus, when he began to tell them the cost of discipleship, saying, "You have to bear your cross, you have to deny yourself, you have to be willing to live according to the values of the kingdom of God, you have to got to give back to God 10% of all you receive from him," many of them who were listening, they just conked out. They were not willing to pay the price. And this is what the parable is about. We need to apply in our daily lives. If we want enough oil in our vessel, it is time for every believer, every church need to increase the quality of our prayer life. We need to increase the quality of our relationship with God and with one another. Like the announcement of the coming of the bridegroom, when the cry is made, we should rise. This parable has a lesson for every believer, every Christian, every church. We need to take a little time with this parable. Because if every Christian go to church on Sunday and worship God, and if we really fill our vessel full, when we leave the church, the quality of life in our community, the quality of life in our society, the quality of life in our family would be totally different. But it is so sad to see that in most cases, the non-believers see that we Christians do not practice what we preach. We talk, we read, we spend time in prayer and worship, but when time comes to shift our gear into action, we become as if our oil has run out. Finally, no matter what our status is, our position is, our profession is, no matter whether we are rich or poor, whether we are old or young, the real question is, have you filled your flask? If we have to call ourselves a real Christian, a true follower of the teaching of Christ, one thing we have to make sure that there is enough oil in the flask because the night is coming. This text, this story speaks to us in a sense that if we really want to get in to the kingdom of heaven, if we don't want the door to be closed to us, when we say the door, maybe the door of meaning, the door of fulfillment, the door of hope, door of happiness, door of joy, door of quality of life, door of good health, door of success, door of perfect relationship. If we don't want all these doors to be closed to us, then we have to make sure that there is enough oil in our spiritual tank. And so it is time for us to check our own records. Let us put ourselves in the category whether we will come among the foolish virgins or the wise virgins. Let us check our records. And if we find anything is missing, then this story, this text is for all of us. It is time for us to say, Lord, fill my cup. Let it overflow. Not just little. Fill my cup. Make it full. Enough to make it through the night. Make me a real Christian that can be counted upon even when the going gets rough. Make me the kind of Christian that will bear witness even in dark days. And if we can say that, and if that happens, I'm sure this parable will finally have done its job. May it begins in me and in you as well. Amen. Let us pray. Now, go forth in the name of the Lord to spread glad tidings abroad. The love that you share and the witness you bear may bring glory and honor to God. Go forth with the joyful singing until we get back again. Remember the words your spirit has heard. God's love is the hope of the world. Amen.